Time is God's gift to us. In fact, it was God's first gift to us. Psalm 139 says this. Should be two more slides. There we go. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God gave us the beginning of our life, didn't He? And you and I couldn't choose when we were born. We couldn't choose what time period we were born into. We didn't get to choose the beginning because God gave us the gift of time. Job 14, verse 5. You have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. Now let me clarify on this verse. I don't believe that Scripture supports that we are a ticking time bomb, that no matter where we're at, that we will die if that's our time and our place. I don't believe Scripture supports that because I believe Scripture talks about free will. And if we truly have free will, then it wouldn't matter what we ever do if He's already determined the time. What I understand this to mean is that He knows the length of our lives. You and I do not get to choose the end of our life. If you've been with loved ones as they've gone through the process, sometimes the process is the most painful thing to watch because they're ready to go, you're ready to let them go because they're in pain, but some, for whatever reason, God, there's a certain time and a moment, and God knows that. So God has given us the gift of time. And God gave us this gift before He gave us anything else. Time is God's first blessing to us. Now, I encountered that this week, and it's changed the way that I'm thinking about time. I told you today I was going to preach on money. But as I started studying through the book of Ecclesiastes, I realized something. That money in Ecclesiastes is always referred to as a profit or as a harvest. And you can't have a harvest if you don't first plant the seed. If you don't work. You don't get money if you don't work. But you can't work if you don't have time. So God's first gift to us is the gift of time. And it's because we have an allotment of time that then we have activity in which to fill that time, which is God-given work. And from work comes the harvest. And here's what I believe God's showing me in this, is that if we do not learn how to be good stewards of God's first gift to us, we will never be a good steward of any other blessing God gives us. If we never learn to manage our time and to steward our time, caught on something. We will never learn to know how to steward the work God's given us, and we will never know how to steward the money God has given us. But this isn't the world you and I live in, is it? Here's how we operate. We say something of this nature. If I didn't need money, then I wouldn't have to work, and if I didn't have to work, I would have the time that I needed. I would have enough time. So our money dictates how much time we have. Or our work. If I didn't have to work so many hours, if I didn't have all these to-do lists and all these projects, then I would have more time to do what I want to do, what I need to do, what I feel like God's asking me to do. And so our money determines how much time we have left over. Our work determines how much time we have left over. Except there's a shift that happens. In Ecclesiastes, he would argue, Solomon would argue, that the way that we manage our time should control our work, and our time should control our money. Because what we understand is that the work God has given us, though is important, is that there's more things to life than work. Quiet. There's more things in life than money. You can always try and get more or make more, but you can't get more time. You can always have work, more work, less work, but you can't get more time. What we've been given is what we've been given, and none of us know the amount or the allotment of which we've been given to it. So the book of Ecclesiastes, when Solomon begins to talk about time, he understands that he uses two different Hebrew words. And the only way that I knew to try and illustrate that is that he talks about one which is an allotment of time, an amount of time, and the other which is an activity of time. And the goal is to try and get the two to merge together as one. Is that when we have enough time is when we understand this. The allotment of time meets the activity of time. And we see this in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Now, if you read through Ecclesiastes 8, you will bypass this because you will think that he's not talking about time. The setting is that you and I are in the king's court. Think of a judge. You're in the court. And the judge is ruling on a situation. And whatever the judge rules, you have to do. And here's the question that's in this backdrop. When the judge tells you to do evil, what are you to do? And behind all of this, at the start of Ecclesiastes 8, is actually not the topic of judge or time, it's the topic of wisdom. How do you live wise when what you're being asked to do is of evil? Let me help you a little bit. When your boss asks you to do something that you don't believe in, that you believe is unethical, what are you to do? When your significant other starts to pressure you and to boundaries that you don't want to cross, what then do you do? And Solomon writes this. He says, those who are wise will find a time, an allotment, and a way to do what is right, an activity. For there is a time, allotment, and a way, an activity for everything, even when a person is in trouble. Indeed, how can people avoid what they don't know is going to happen? We can't. None of us can hold back our spirit from departing. None of us has the power to prevent the day of death. There is no escaping that obligation, that dark bottle. And in the face of death, wickedness will certainly not rescue the wicked. We don't know what is going to happen. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. And so here's the conclusion that Solomon comes to. When you don't know what to do, his first remark was, obey the king. Obey the judge. Obey the command. Now, this goes a little bit further because it's an understanding in Scripture that there is respect for authority. Man, I could preach long and hard on that. Let it go.
I don't want to.
Let it go. Let it go. So sometimes you don't always agree with the authority that's over you. And this starts at a very young age and it lasts all your days, doesn't it? And there are times that you do what the authority asks you to do simply because they're in authority. But there will come a time where you have to do what is right. Because right time always requires a right action. See, we get this mixed up. When authority asks us to do something we don't want to do, sometimes we have the right action at the wrong time. So when our boss asks us to do something, that's the final straw, and we take him out in the hallway or in front of all his superiors, and we just, and we walk out of there, honey, lost my job today. I did what was right. Well, you may have had the right action, but it may have been at the wrong time. You see, there comes a moment, there's a right way to do it. And so what you could do is you could refrain and submit in that moment. But you know down the road, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, maybe a week, maybe a month, that there will be a right time to handle it the right way. The way that you are satisfied with the time that you have been given in life, the way that I find satisfaction with time is by making sure these two are married together, doing the right thing at the right time. You see, when significant others are pushing you to go further than you want to go in your relationship, did you know that that's actually not the time to discuss how far you're going to go when hormones are multiplying by the multi-second? You know the right time to discuss that is somewhere before you get there. And it's, by the way, it's not right away. When you first meet somebody, they don't need to know everything about you just yet. But as you feel like you're moving in this relationship and they're special and they really care about you, there will be a right time to discuss the right thing and the right activity. And then before you ever get in the situation, you have the right time and the right action paired together. So I think the question we have to ask this morning, and this is the answer is different from all of us, what time is it? You see, my understanding is that you are at a place in life that allows you to do things that you couldn't do 10 years ago. And you're at a place in life right now that you can do things now in the present that you won't be able to do 10 years from today. And so what time is it? What is happening in your life? I only know how to share. I can't say what is happening in your life. I can only share what's happening in my life. I believe that 3 weeks ago there was a seismic shift that happened in my life. When a baby was born into this world, all of a sudden I was no longer just a husband, but I was in that moment a father. I'd been that moment for 9 months. I believe that. It's not you will be a father. I believe in life at the very beginning. That was a tangent, sorry. But I believe the call. You know, I've been joking that I have 18 years to raise her. The truth is I have a whole lot less than that. I figure I have 8 to 10 good years where she really adores me. And so my number one call over the next 8 to 10 years, I believe, is not first and foremost to be a husband. It's the first and foremost be a father. Now watch this. It's 1A and 1B. You can't separate the two, but when you're having to determine the time, where time gets allotted, sometimes you have to understand the season that you're in. Because here's what I understand. If I miss the next 8 to 10 years because I'm doing some other good thing, it may not be a sinful action, but it may be the wrong action. Because if I miss the next 8 to 10 years, I will never have a chance to have the next 50 or 60 with her. But if you get the 8 to 10 years right, you'll get a lifetime with her. So hopefully in 8 to 10 years, I'll see you again, honey. Sarah's ready for a break, I think. We've been together about 9 years, so she's ready for a 9-year break, I suppose. But do you understand what I'm saying? One of the questions you could ask yourself is, what can I do right now that I couldn't do yesterday? What can I do tomorrow in the future that I can't do today? And whatever it is that you can do today, that's what you lean into. That's what you give yourself fully to. Now this changes over time. You retired people, there are things you can do now you could never do when you were working. So lean into those things. Because here's the thing, if we don't lean into the time that we've been given right now, whatever we think will be waiting for us on the other end, it won't be there because we missed it here. Good. Second question. Not just what time is it, but this is the most important question. What is God doing? What is it that God wants to do right now in this season of my life? And then you partner with Him and say, that's what we're going to do. Now, how do you know what God is doing? I believe there's three ways God works in our life. First, He calls us to Himself. He calls us to rest on the seventh day. He calls us to worship. He calls us to live in peace. He calls us to live in love. And the only way you do that is when you find this way to attach yourself to Him. Where nothing can come against that attachment, but He always calls us to Himself. And so what God may be doing in your life is that you feel like you have lost all your friends, you've lost everything right now, but what God is doing is saying, you may feel like that, but I'm right here. This is the season where you have to lean into Me and what I'm doing. The second place that I believe God works and moves is in opportunities. Opportunities are simply the place where God will fulfill His promises. But God will never fulfill His promise in your life and my life if we don't step out in faith into the opportunity, trusting that He will fill what He promised He would fill. You see, before anything is ever a harvest or a success, it's an opportunity that requires faith and trust. There may be an opportunity that's in front of you that you've not had before, and it may be what He's asking you to fall into. Because that's what He's doing in your life. But here's the thing, if you miss that opportunity, the next opportunity that could come from that, you will never get. I'll never get if we don't lean into it here and now. The third place beyond opportunity is this. So He calls us to Himself. He calls us to opportunities. He calls us to people. His purpose is always with people, because behind every opportunity there are people who God wants to fulfill the purpose in their life through you. So watch what God does. God always works in you so that He can work through you. Let me explain a little bit as a father. You know what my plan is to do over the next 8 to 10 years? Is to first be called to Him. To understand that it is God's love for me that makes anything possible, and then my response to Him. Because I don't want to love that little girl with my love, because it's not good enough. I can only love with His love if I know what His love is. And there will be opportunities for me to not only show her my love, but more importantly, show her God's love. And there will come a time when the purpose for her life is that she would not only come to a moment of salvation, she would come to a moment of consecration. I'm getting to a place where so many people will pray a sinner's prayer, but they never change their life. So my prayer for her is not that just someday she's saved. My prayer is that she would come and say, God, I know that You love me. I know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that You have a purpose for my life that You want to use. And I want her to say, whatever it is, gifts, talents, and abilities, failures, weaknesses, and struggles, take it all, Lord, and use it for Your purpose. And you... It'll be 8 to 10 years, and she'll be probably not like me for a while, and I may struggle to like her. Doesn't mean you won't love her, but boy, I'm already asking advice for those teenage years. Some of you are living through them. Some of you have lived through them, but you know what I find happens? They work their way back. We all had to find ourselves. And there's people in your life that God is calling us to. You see, something beautiful happens when you get the right time with the right action. Satisfaction. Satisfaction. Right time, right action, satisfaction happens. This is happening in our church right now. You just may not know it. It's probably about a year or so ago. Jason, yes, we were in a board meeting, and you shared that you felt like for you and Shannon it was time to step down from youth. And I saw the struggle and the burden that you all carried, because you didn't know who would step up and take over youth. Because in your heart of hearts, you felt like the timing was right and the action was right, but you didn't know what was on the other side. Well, somewhere in the midst of this, this hadn't really been out at all. I like to try and keep things hush-hush for a reason. You know why? Because it gives God time to work. And as God begins to whisper into somebody else's life and they come to you without any prodding and say, you know what, I feel like God really wants us to start helping with the youth. Not even knowing fully of the conversation that's happening, you're thinking, right time, right action. We get in the way of God way too much. So Zach and Kayla came, and I was at youth. I came back last week after lunch. I had some time before the nursing home, and I just watched, including Zach and Kayla, 15 kids. 15. But here's the thing. Here's what's so beautiful about it. That never would have been where it's at if you weren't faithful to the time and action for the years you were. Because you've told me you did it because there was a need to keep it going. And here, I love Zach and Kayla. What they're doing is incredible. And I'm glad neither of them are in here, because this is going to sound bad. They're not doing anything revolutionary. They don't have some program or some idea that's so this out of this world that nobody's ever done. You know what they're doing? They're following the plan of God. They have the right time with the right action, and God always blesses the right time with the right action in ways that are bigger than any of us. See, my plan was to try and give you a really practical message. I don't know that this is practical at all. What I think we have to do, though, We sit down and make a schedule. Some of us do. Some don't. That's okay. We start with all the things we have to do. And whatever's left over is when we fill in what we want to do. Except a couple of things happen. Sometimes there's never enough left over to get to the things that are most important. The other thing that happens is that if you don't schedule something in that slot, there'll be somebody who will schedule it for you. Everybody wants your time. And nobody can schedule it for you and where you say, nope, I got plans. It doesn't matter if the only thing you wrote in that slot was family. Date night. It might be it's hunting season, I'm hunting in the woods. But it's got to be on the schedule. So everybody knows it, so that there's an allotted time for the right activity. Some of you are thinking, he's preaching now. What if? What if? Oh, this is the other thing. When there's a little bit of time left, here's what we do. We borrow from tomorrow to finish what's today, thinking that tomorrow there'll be enough time to do the important thing we never got to, except all of you already know this. There's never any more time tomorrow than there was today. And what's important gets keep shoving under the rug. And we keep borrowing from tomorrow and we can never pay the debt back. And then we miss the 8 to 10 years we have and they're gone. That was to me. So what if we started this way? What if we started our schedules and just said, God, what is it? What time is it in my life? What are you calling me to? What are you doing? And we schedule that in first. If I didn't accomplish anything else this week, if this is what I accomplish, it'll be enough. Even when it's not enough, it will be enough because what God is doing is enough for my life. Now there's all kinds of things you're going to have to schedule in there. But when you start there, even when you schedule work, what you're saying is, work is a gift from God, even when it feels more like a burden. But because God has given you a job, God has given me a job, you're able to schedule it in and say it's from God. By the way, not all jobs are paying. I'm thinking of a few. Not all jobs you get paid for. But it's your job. And what if we just scheduled that way and we said, you know what? I really need to be there for my family and I'm scheduling this in. I really need to be in church and I'm scheduling this in. Because we can't just say, on Sunday I'll decide whether I'm going or not. Because if I did that, I wouldn't be here half the time. I'm tired too. And somehow I got to try and rev up 100 miles an hour. You get to come and kind of nod in and out. And that's the way it works with some. You have to schedule family time. You know, Sarah and I thought when we moved to Newburgh that, oh, we'd get to see our family a lot. You know, the only time we get to see our family is when we schedule something. It doesn't happen without chance. I want to ask you today. I want to challenge you today. Oh, I know where I'm at. I know where I'm at. When you have the right time, the right action, God does something beautiful that only God can do. I grew up on a chorus. This was revolutionary in the Nazarene church when chorus books came out. But it just said, in His time. In His time. He makes all things beautiful in His time. Lord, please show me every day as You're teaching me Your way that You do just what You say in Your time. In Your time, in Your time. You make all things beautiful in Your time. Lord, my life to You I bring. May each song I have to sing be to You a lovely thing in Your time. True, God made everything beautiful in itself and in its time. I'm telling you, when you wait upon God for the right action at the right time, what God is able to do is so beautiful. His blessing is all over it that you would never get if it's not the right time and the right action.